The Libyan media have a lot to learn after four decades of service to the Gaddafi regime. Jamal Dajani is vice president of Middle East and North Africa at Internews, which just released an assessment of Libyan media. Jamal, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So your report examines Libyan media's past, present, and future. So start with the past.
During the reign of Muammar Gaddafi, Libya has rated as one of the least free countries in the Arab region. There was no such a thing as freedom of expression or a free media.
Tunisia and Egyptian media were also notorious for censorship, but you say that they were very different cases, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you cannot compare the media in Libya to a country like Egypt, where you had universities, broadcast schools. So even though you had censorship under the Mubarak regime and in Tunisia under Ben Ali, there was a little bit of wiggle room. The Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, for example, had its own media. Other opposition groups had their own media outlets, even though there were crackdowns. Under Gaddafi, this was non-existent. To be a journalist was a very dangerous profession, even when you worked for the regime itself, because you never knew when you would cross the red lines. I mean, I've known a journalist who was put in jail for 3 years because he showed up to a press conference 15 minutes late.
3 years?
Gaddafi decided to change the venue to another location where he flew by helicopter, which takes about 90 minutes to get to the new venue. And this reporter made it 15 minutes late. Not only he lost his job, but he was sentenced to 3 years.
And Gaddafi, he was determined to create year one in Libya, new flag, new national anthem, changing the name of the country. And then as he proceeded, he didn't want the names of government officials or of sports stars to be cited in the press. Football stars could only be referred to by their numbers and government officials by their titles.
It's really not to outshine him. He did not want people to become more famous or their names to make it in the media. So if you were a superstar, you know, that was too much for him. And there were so many fine lines in the way the media portrayed Gaddafi, including his many names. You know, at times he was Colonel Gaddafi, and then later on he wanted to be addressed by everyone as brother leader. Statements he made had to be quoted in a certain way. If a reporter would have made a mistake, there were severe and harsh punishments.
Okay, so in February of this year, the uprisings begin. We start to see a proliferation of free media in parts of the country that aren't controlled by Gaddafi. Tell me a little bit about the media that started popping up.
Right. You had, by July, some 120 publications, 5 radio stations, 3 to 5 TV stations. You have Libyans living in diaspora. You have doctors, you have engineers, you have students, and they all decided to return and to start forming their own outlets.
And they all started with this one goal, which was the downfall of Gaddafi. So what happens to revolutionary media when the revolution's over?
Well, that's the big question. The good news is Libya is almost a virgin territory for media because Gaddafi left nothing there for anyone to build on. Unlike Egypt, I mean, Egypt, we've seen the changes, but at the end of the day, we've seen a reshuffling of the seats. So many of those who used to pay homage to Mubarak all of a sudden changed their tune like 180 degrees overnight and started to praise the revolution. In Libya, you have people who came from outside. You have also the young people who would have never dreamt to become a reporter or a producer because they knew the price. And now you can train a new energetic cadre of journalists and have the opportunity to lay the foundation for a free media.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Jamal Dajani is Vice President of Middle East and North Africa for the Internews Network. Here's a taste of Gaddafi's infamous "We Will Hunt You" speech remixed, a viral sensation. This is On the Media.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.